Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast at BunSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the college football professor, as we have joined you throughout the college football season. And we've taken a look at some great finishes, great games, some shakeups when it comes to the top of college football and the rankings. And now we have our Final Four set and our bowl slate set. And here we are at the end of yet another college football.
To go in college football for this year.
True, there are a lot of bowls yet to be played, and that is one of the funnest parts of dealing with the college football season, is wrapping it up with the postseason, and there's a lot to be done there. Well, let's start. You got some awards you want to give out, and I'm curious to hear each award and to whom it's going to go. So you just lead us off and let me know where this year's postseason awards, given out by none other than the college football professor, are going to go.
Well, you know, we each year we have the Home Depot or either the Homestead Act or something like that that gives our Coach of the Year. Then we have the Heisman. Sometimes it's a heist rather than a Heisman. So we've got those. So I just thought we could come along with some that might be a little bit different. For instance, we're going to talk about coaches. Let's look at a couple coaches here. Now I'm going to put this on two different levels. We're going to call one the high-level, solid gold coaches. Now, these are the ones who, they're operating high-octane programs, and a lot is expected of them. So, Jacob, I'm going to give you your choice. You got to pick your Coach of the Year in the solid gold category.
Okay.
Nick Saban, Alabama. Urban Meyer, Ohio State. David Shaw at Stanford. And Mark D'Antonio of Michigan State. You'd have to say all of them have really succeeded this year. So which one would you pick as a solid gold Coach of the Year?
How can you pick one out of those? They've all done fantastic jobs this year. Mark D'Antonio, just a play away from having Michigan State undefeated in the Big Ten. Nick Saban brought his team back after they were down 30-10 against Ole Miss, and he won the SEC in dramatic fashion. And the other two you mentioned, Shaw, did a great job as well. So I'm not going to be ambiguous. I'm going to give you an answer. I think I'm going to go SEC biased. I think I would give it to Mr. Saban.
Well, I think when you think about the fact that he had three returning starters on offense and seven returning starters on defense, he's done quite well. Now let's go to the second category. Okay. We'll call these coaches who had unbelievable years, or we could think about this is the Coach of the Year with little expectation, but yet they've done a wonderful job. Here are the nominees. Joe McElwain, Florida. Mm-hmm. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State. Dabo Swinney, Clemson. Larry Fedora of University of North Carolina. And Pat Fitzgerald from Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they've all had great years. I would definitely give that one to Jim McElwain, given that Florida had a terrible year last year, really. They went to a bowl, but it was the Birmingham Bowl. And they ended up having a very poor season. He turned them around this year and took them to Atlanta. They, at one time, had a legitimate shot to get into the college football playoff. And had they not lost Will Greer, their quarterback, which was not Jim, I mean, that was totally out of his hands, of course, using PEDs, that could have changed things. Florida could have been, they could have beaten Florida State and probably been competitive, more competitive with Alabama. So I have to give it to McElwain. But all those guys did a good job, and I think, looking at Dan Mullen, I think that's the guy you have to look at this year. He kind of flew under the radar, and they lost that last game to Ole Miss, and it was a pretty bloody affair. But overall, I think he's done about as good a job as any in college football this year.
Now, this next award, I guess, would go to the team, and that is the team that stepped in the mud hole this year. And
now, that doesn't mean stomping a mud hole. You mean stepping in a mud hole. There's a difference.
And the list is LSU, Oregon, UCF, and Maryland. Now, I will say this. You'd have to say that UCF, not only did they step in the mud hole, they stepped in quicksand. They went all the way down.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Is there a lower category than this?
No.
We're going down even further? Because I've got some I'd like to add.
Okay, add one.
Well, I think the Auburn Tigers would definitely be a candidate for a team that stepped in. I mean, you're talking about a team that was picked to go to the national championship.
We got them up for another award.
Okay, that's what I was asking. I didn't want to get ahead of you. All right. Well, you know,
like for instance, Oregon and LSU didn't have real bad seasons. They wound up each losing three games, which is a good.
Yeah.
Oregon was playing better at the end, but they still, with the expectations coming on, I think in the first poll that came out for the playoff, LSU was number two, and they went down. But like I said, now we threw in a couple there that. Central Florida just absolutely stepped in quicksand, and then Maryland, they're about to slide into the ocean.
Yeah, Oregon finished 9-3. That's not terrible, and LSU finished 8-3 because they didn't play the game early in the year, so they had 11 games. I think both of those, I would say Oregon would be the biggest disappointment. You look at who Oregon plays in their schedule, there's no reason they should be 9-3 with the kind of players they have. And I had them going to the Pac-12 championship. I was wrong about that. Stanford, of course, had a great year, and you have to give credit to them. But I would go with Oregon of those. LSU did as well, but LSU also, I think, surprised a lot of people in how they played early in the season. So, it was one of those bumpy years for LSU.
Well, the next one just has two nominees,
okay.
And that's the stepping on the banana peel.
Yeah.
You know the old saying about stepping on the banana peel. And there are Art Briles of Baylor. And the other one is Nick Chubb, the running back for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, they both had Art Briles, and you could even expand that and say Bryce Petty for Baylor, because, you know, obviously Nick Chubb went out for Georgia, and that was kind of their heart and soul. Well, I think Bryce Petty was the heart and soul of Baylor, too. And when you're not going to play anybody out of conference, you got to go undefeated, at least. And Baylor didn't do that, and that's very disappointing for them and their fans in the Big 12. So I'd say Baylor was a big disappointment this year.
Well, they went all the way down to the fourth-string quarterback. In fact, it wasn't let me rephrase that. They went all the way down to playing their fourth quarterback, who happens to have been a split end playing quarterback by the end of the thing. Now, the next one is the Beverly Hillbilly Award. Now, we're not talking about somebody being a hillbilly. We're talking about, if you remember, the Clampets had quite a fortune when they, had that bubbling gold coming up out of the ground. All of a sudden, they had great, what looked so didn't look so good turned out to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I have two on that one, and that's Will Muschamp and Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Now, both of them, they just both fell into something really good.
No question. I think Will Muschamp, you look at what he did there, and it's kind of the Lane Kiffin tract. I mean, he goes to Auburn as a defensive coordinator, and he does an okay job in his first year, but he's retooling that defense, and then he leaves and goes and gets another head coaching job right off the bat at South Carolina. Clay Helton, of course, at USC. He takes over for Steve Sarkisian, and he remains the head coach. They decided to give him the job there in Los Angeles. So both guys, they have a lot to prove, though. They're going to have uphill battles at their respective schools.
I would say, Jacob, that one of the surprises this year has been the success of the mid-level schools. I don't know what we call them. We used to call them mid-majors and all that, but the mid-level schools. And I listed four or five of these. Memphis Tigers had quite a good year. Navy, the midshipmen, they really did well. Houston, Temple, and Western Kentucky.
But that's you're right. I think the mid-majors, you look at, and we saw the Temple, Memphis early in the year, and we thought that there was a chance that one of them could get into that game. And Houston, by the way, is in a New Year's Six game. They're going to play Florida State in the Peach Bowl. So, yeah, you're right. And you look at that final ranking, who you have in there, Temple, you have Navy, you have Houston.
Western Kentucky.
Yeah, so they're in the AP top 25. You're right. College, they didn't quite sneak into the college football playoff top 25. But, yes, and I think that speaks to, as you said, those other conferences, what do they call it, the group of five with American Athletic Conference and some of the others, they're playing good football. They're playing good football, and you have to respect them.
The next award is what I'm going to call Fool's Gold.
Okay.
And the nominees are the Auburn Tigers, the University of Southern California, USC, Arizona State, Missouri, Georgia Tech, and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all quite, handsome names.
Yeah.
But they didn't live up to their name.
Yeah, Nebraska, I wouldn't quite put in that category considering all the broken heart finishes they had. They had a pretty decent season. They've saved three or four plays. Auburn, I would say if you're going to have fool's gold, you have to have gold. And Auburn didn't have any gold this year. They didn't do anything that was particularly inspiring. And so, yeah, I think that's a pretty good list there.
All right. The next one is they were who we thought they were. Mm-hmm. I think you remember that statement from a well-known football coach. And when he said they were who we thought they were. Now, these teams are who we thought they were. Kansas, Tulane, and Purdue.
Well, I can't speak to Tulane. I can speak to Kansas and say Kansas getting run on a weekly basis. That's pretty well there. And Purdue, what a sad program. I mean, they used to be a competitive program. Now they are the legitimate dog of the Big Ten. I mean, when you play Purdue, you can go ahead and rest your starters.
They must they're boiling makers rather than getting boiled instead of being boiling makers.
No question.
The next one is
the boiler up. They're getting boiled up.
Yeah. The next one is the Stuck in the Mud. Uh-huh. Now, these are the nominees for Stuck in the Mud. Now, they're trying and wailing away, trying to get out, but they're still stuck in the mud. Texas, Vanderbilt.
Oh, man, Texas.
Kentucky, Colorado, and Illinois.
Yeah. Well, Illinois, of course, having changes. They're having changes, both the coach and athletic director. Texas needs to get it figured out. That's a program that's got way too much potential to be going 4-8.
Then the next one is the teams that flip the switch. And I'm nominating Washington State, Southern Miss, and Utah.
Well, I tell you, if you can lose your opening game to Portland State and then come back and nearly win the Pac-12 North, and a pretty good Pac-12 North. You've got Stanford and some others up there in that same division. You got to say a lot about the job Mike Leach did there. And what were the other nominees there?
Southern Miss and Utah.
Yeah, we'll Southern Miss. Great season by Southern Miss. They're going to a bowl, and they should be. And Utah is also going to a bowl playing BYU, so good season for them too.
Yeah, they were in the running for the them and Washington.
And I'll
say
this. You look at snapshots during the season, and you brought Utah up there. I think it's important that we not get too far ahead of ourselves when it's the 1st of October or the last of September. If I remember correctly, Utah could not be beat. They were number one. Why are they not number one? This team is unstoppable. Well, where is Utah now? They're far, far from number one or in the college football playoff. So I think that's why we have to be careful about making bold pronouncements. Remember, Alabama, as Nick Saban said, was 6 feet under on September the 20th, the day after they lost to Ole Miss, and now look where they are.
The next award is worth their hype, okay? Ezekiel Elliott, running back for Ohio State. Laquan Treadwell, receiver for Mississippi State.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. You're right. Sorry about that. I know that their coach might be upset, but I was thinking about Dan Mullen again. But he don't play for Dan Mullen.
No.
So then Pharaoh Cooper, and he doesn't play for Southern Cal, but it's South Carolina. So it's
USC of the East.
On East. And A'shaun Robinson of Alabama. Dak Prescott, Mississippi State University. Now, that he does play for Dan Mullen.
He sure does.
And Leonard Fournette, LSU, and Dalvin Cook, Florida State, Derrick Henry of Alabama, and Scooby Wright, Arizona.
You know what? Derrick Henry gets all the spotlight for Alabama, and, of course, rightfully so. He's done a great job. But I'll tell you this, A'shaun Robinson has been as much of a part of Alabama's success this year, and that front, that defensive front and defensive line, I think that's they don't get enough talk when talking about Alabama standout. And also Dalvin Cook. Florida State didn't. They ended up ninth in the college football playoff, 10-2. But I was really impressed with Dalvin Cook. I think he's one of the better running backs in college football, right up there at the top with any of them. He just didn't obviously have the team to go around it as some of the others did.
Are there any other players that you think, just off the top of your head, that had just super, super year this year?
Well, you know, there are several that I think they're not standouts, but they've done a lot of good things for their team and helped them get to the place where they are. I like the quarterback at Iowa, and his name is
Beathard, isn't it?
Yeah, C.J. Beathard. That's right. And I think he's done a great job of managing that team. Iowa couldn't quite beat Michigan State, but they've done a great job. Clemson has a couple of defensive players. Deshaun Watson gets all the attention, but they've got some defensive players that have won some games for them, as does Oklahoma. Their defenses don't get enough talk. And then, of course, Connor Cook at Michigan State. What can you say? The guy keeps winning games for them. So those are some guys, probably not at the top of the pecking order, but you don't underestimate the contribution they've had for their schools.
Now here, the next award is the team that's stuck in second gear. Now, that means they're moving, doing pretty well, but they just can't get it in high gear, and that is Georgia, yeah. Penn State, Arizona, the Arizona Wildcats. So there are three nominees.
Penn State, very interesting situation. They just can't seem to get that going, as you said there, in Arizona State. And in Georgia, of course, they made the coaching change after going 9-3. And they hire Kirby Smart. We'll see if they can switch gears here or bump it up a gear. But you're right, all good nominees there.
Now, the last one would be another coaching deal. But these are, and there are only two nominees. I'm just going to say that these two coaches stepped up the game. Now, I didn't bring them into the Coach of the Year deal, but they both are longtime coaches, had great records. But they've stepped up the game. The first one is Iowa's Kurt France, who has a 115-85 record and came into his 16th season. Some people even put him on the hot seat. And look at the year he's had. And Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, we know the success he's had, but I think the people, the Sooners, were coming to the place, they're wondering if he's ever again going to do anything really good for them. So those two coaches, to me, long-term, well-respected, thought of as some of the top coaches in America, they kind of stepped up the game this year.
No question. A great job by both of those guys. Kirk Ferentz, you can't say enough about leading that Iowa team, and oh, so close, 3 points away from getting to a Big Ten or tying Michigan State in that game. I'm going to throw out some teams. I'm going to go down the college football playoff ranking, and I'm also going to go through the SEC, and I'm going to go rapid fire, and this is the time of the year where college students are taking their final exams, so we're going to go quickly on this, but I want you to give me a letter grade, A, B, C, D, and yes, even F, if they go, and you tell me when I say the name of the team, you tell me what the year. I think it's fair to say Clemson, Alabama, Michigan State, Oklahoma, all had an A this year.
And so we'll compare the rest of them to those four.
Okay, that's the standard. We'll start with Iowa.
I'd say A.
All right, Stanford.
B+.
Ohio State. And this is taking into account all that they had coming back, their coaches, everything that grows. One school may be expected to do less, and they do more, and vice versa. So what would you say for Stanford?
I'm going to give them Ohio State a B+, but that's also based on the fact that they didn't have that kind of demanding schedule this year.
True. Good point. Notre Dame.
B+.
Florida State.
B-.
North Carolina.
A.
TCU.
B.
Ole Miss.
A-.
Northwestern.
A.
Yeah, you have to give it to them. How about Jim Harbaugh in his first year at Michigan?
I'd give him a B+.
Yeah, I think he did a pretty good job. Oregon, I think we've talked about them. I'd give him about a C.
Right.
Oklahoma State.
I'm going to give them a B, just a solid B.
Baylor.
Because it has to do with their injuries and so forth, but they'd have to be a B-.
Navy.
A.
Yeah, absolutely. Utah.
B.
And then finally, USC.
C-.
All right, I'm going to go through the SEC now, the ones that we haven't read already, and get your thoughts on that. We'll start in the East, where there might be a lot of tough grades going around. Florida, I think we give them a pretty high grade.
Right.
Georgia.
B-.
Tennessee.
B.
Vanderbilt.
C+.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt made a season out of it after a while.
They surprised me. They were playing better at the end of the year. They looked terrible at the first of the year.
They really
did. And they got to where you didn't want to play them almost.
Kentucky.
C-.
Missouri.
D.
South Carolina.
I'm not going to give a failing grade, so I'm going to say a D-.
Okay. Yeah, South Carolina was pretty bad. Alabama, we've already graded an Ole Miss. How about Arkansas?
I'd give them a B.
Mm-hmm.
First of the year, they lost a couple of out-of-conference games.
Yeah, they did.
They came back by the end of the year. They had gotten it right, but that's the same thing they did last year. So he's going to have to find a way to get out of the gate.
Yeah, you can't lose to Texas Tech and Toledo, and then you're just out of it at that point. You're right. They're playing well now, probably as well as anybody. LSU.
B-minus.
Yeah.
The reason I wouldn't give them any lower than that is that their expectations was really high, but they still had a good year. And like you said, they have a game that they would have easily won and probably padded their stats and so forth, but they only lost three games.
Texas A&M.
C+.
Mm-hmm. Mississippi State.
B.
Auburn.
I'm going to give them a C-. They came up to end with a 500, one loss record. But if you went by expectations, it would be lower than that. I didn't have those kind of expectations. I was questioning people at the first of the year who were wanting them to be in the college football playoffs, and I was wondering what they were basing it on. So I was expecting them to be better than they were, but I wasn't expecting them to be contending.
Real quickly, let's do the top five Power Five conferences. Same drill. Give me a grade on each conference and how they performed overall this year. SEC.
B.
Interesting. Big Ten.
B.
Big 12.
C+.
ACC.
Overall, their whole, all the teams, top to bottom, I'd have to give them a C+.
Pac-12.
B.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah, it's Pac-12. So you've got the Pac-12, Big Ten, and SEC with the best grades out there, and then the Big 12. I think you're right about the Big 12, and I'll tell you, the Big 12 is hurt by the fact that they don't play a conference championship game, and I'm glad that they're requiring their schools to play one Power 5 team out of conference, because Baylor's out-of-conference schedule was the joke this year, and they need to get that turned around. That's a good point.
Well, Jacob, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What one or two or three bowl games do you, outside of the championship, the playoffs, which bowls do you find most intriguing, you think that has the potential to really be some kind of showcase?
Well, the Power 5 bowl games are obvious. I always, when Notre Dame and Ohio State get together, I'm always interested in that game to watch those two programs play each other. So that would be one. I think Oregon and TCU, are they playing one another? I think that is a game I'm looking forward to. How about you?
Well, I agree with you on those, and I'm looking forward to isn't Ole Miss playing TCU? Is Ole Miss playing TCU in the Sugar Bowl?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, that's right. I knew that wasn't right. I knew that we thought Baylor was going to be in, but Baylor lost their last game, and that knocked them out. And so I think that's a very good game. And I think the Peach Bowl, that's going to be quite interesting to see Houston going up against Florida State.
And we will preview every single bowl game here at BunSports.com. The first wave will preview next week, so you don't want to miss next week's program. But this is our season in review show. Army-Navy this weekend. Who do you like in that game?
Well,
I mean, is it going to be close? I guess I should say
I would love to see Army win, but I'm not in. I don't really have any much of a hope that would happen.
Navy
wins easily.
Navy sitting it with a very nice record. They almost got in the New Year's Six game. Army sitting at 2-9, so it's going to be probably a one-sided affair tomorrow in Philadelphia, or Saturday in Philadelphia. But the College Football Professor, I'm Jacob Bunn. It's been great. We've had fun all season, and we'll be back next week to start previewing the bowl season here at BunSports.com, so don't miss it. We'll see you then.